Good afternoon. Pleased to be here sharing this with you today. So the Nea Bay, Washington is where the Macaw Tribe is located. It's on the very northwest tip of Washington State. It is about 4 hours north and west of Seattle, and it's located on the very, very northwest tip of the state. It's about 2 hours west of the a town of the closest size. So Port Angeles is about 2 hours east of us.
Here, let me take everybody there and then
okay.
Come back.
Could you speak closer to
the
microphone?
Oh, sure, of course.
I can raise it up.
There we go. So there you can see Washington State, and we're located right at the very tip there. So you can see where Seattle is. We're just about 4 hours west of that, and then 2 hours west of Port Angeles. So we're very remotely located. We get about 10 feet of rain a year. We don't even bother to measure it in inches. So we get about 10 feet, and so the roads often slide out. So we're actually not only just remotely rurally located, but sometimes we are actually inaccessible. So, yeah. So there's a photo of Nea Bay. We have about 2,200 tribal members, about half of whom live on the reservation. We have a public school system in Nea Bay. We have a number of our people who actually attend college. So we have about 60 of our tribal members that are currently engaged in higher education. The tribe is the largest employer in Nea Bay. We have about 300 full-time and half-time employees on the reservation. So there's about 1,200 people that live there. So.
Great. I think that was the last one.
Was it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. So I just wanted to kind of give you an idea of the tribe and who we are and where we're located.
And I've asked Mary to be here because as a community transformation group, we're capacity building, and a lot of our work is really engaging the community and working in partnership because that's what's going to make it sustainable. So having a tribal member, having leadership from the tribe so vested in it is what is making it just so dynamic and very, very successful. But now to back up to business, sorry I set us off a little out of pace. I'd like to start by assuring you that we have no relationships to disclose. And also to sort of say that we have learning objectives, to talk about building effective coalitions, 3 community assessment tools, and some techniques to minimize unintended negative outcomes or consequences that might happen along the way. So again, and then here's the picture. We have an annual event called Macaw Days. So the culture and the tradition of the Macaw people is very much what has sustained them since the beginning of time, and that is why they're still such a strong and vibrant community. Now, can you hear that?
Beginning. Here in Northwest Washington, perched on the edge of the continent, the Macaw Nation is
undergoing a
series of transformation to encourage active living.
Okay, hold on, I'm going to pause. Sorry, we should have practiced this beforehand. Okay, keep your fingers crossed. We just got this, and we're really excited about it. We'd love to share it with you.
The world isn't flat, but it does have a beginning. North Washington, perched on the edge of the continent, the Macaw Nation is undergoing a community transformation to encourage active living and healthy eating.
We're Macaw people. Kudinshtaak is what we call ourselves. It means the people that live by the rocks and the seagulls. We are called the Macaw people, and the name that was given to us by our neighbors, and it means generous with food, generous hosts. We've lived here on the very northwest tip of Washington State from what our ancestors and our creation stories tell us is the beginning of time. So our people have been very actively involved on the land, on the water, have been physically very healthy over the years, over the millennia. And today, we are planning to maintain that. I am so excited about the Community Transformation Grant. I feel like it's something that is going to enable us to really get on the path to wellness.
My vision of a strong, healthy Macaw is somebody that's 80 years old, that's out there walking the streets every day, and that's off picking berries. We just had an 80-year-old tribal member take our community health representatives out deep into the woods with a 30-06 to go gather his Indian tea. When we do our work here, we're thinking of seven generations out. We're thinking about we're a little blip in time. Myself, I'm just a little speck in time of macaw, and my job is to do the very best I can for my tribe. Think of whatever creative things I can, recruit powerful people to help us to be well and strong seven generations out.
One of the main benefits of the Community Transformation Grant has been the ability to hire full-time staff members who can research and implement programs based largely on community input. On October 9th, members of Forterra and the Bikery held cycling repair workshops along with biking and walking tours of Mia Bay.
I've noticed there's a lot of bikers and walkers. So we're trying to provide more opportunity. What else is it that we can do to provide those opportunities for people who want to be able to do those activities more often? We may have people that are really avid bikers, but they don't have access to a bike. So we want to know what is it that we can do as a group, as a community transformation. What can we do to provide access to that biking? How can we make our streets safer for our walkers, for our parents, and for the moms who are out with their strollers? That's another thing that we're working on is walking. How can we make these opportunities easier accessible for our community members? One of the things that we're also looking into is how can we implement a community garden, which is what the community has started. How can we make it bigger? How can we gain or promote partnerships with farms, local farms, in order to maybe start a farmer's market here in our community? It was important for us to go to our community members and say, what is it that you want us to do? What can we do for you to make this better for you? We want to know what your priorities are. We want to know what your concerns are. What is it that you'd like to see change? What would you like to see implemented? Are there some types of programs or things that you would like to see that could be sustainable for years to come, for generations to come, that would allow people to continue to want to be excited about healthy living, active living, and tobacco-free living? I think it's pretty amazing the opportunities and the potential in the future that we have, and I think we're on the beginning of solid solutions to change the social norms, because the norms got formed by inactivity and watching TV too much and not paying attention to our nutrition. So I think our norms are going to be different.
Could you hear that, Ben?
Great.
Okay. So, I think we'll put it back together now. Or maybe I will be home. Okay. All right, just a quick little bit of background then. An American Indian, Alaska Native population, 10 leading causes of death, 8 out of 10 of those are due to chronic disease. The heart disease, the diabetes, the stroke, the kidney disease. We know we could do something about that, and that's what we're setting out to do. Here in Clallam County, which is where Macaw Tribe is based, the red would be the American Indian Alaska Native population. The green is the white population. At any age, life expectancy is longer if you're white. Right at the time that you're born, which is here, less than 1 year old, if you're American Indian Alaska Native, you can expect to live about 69 years. But if you're white, you'll live 77. And that just continues throughout the decades. That is a disparity that's not acceptable to us, and that's what we're looking to change. The health risk factors, again, this is for Washington State. We're a very small community. It's hard to get data just for our community with any sort of statistical significance. But what we do know across the state is that there is, again, disparity. Food insecurity is higher in Native country or Indian country, cigarette smoking. But even fruit and veg consumption and inadequate physical activity, these two, while they might be comparable between the American Indian, which is blue, sorry, I forgot to say that, and the rest of Washington State, it's too high. So these are all areas that we took back to our community as, let's use this as a launching point to talk about what are the priorities for our community, for the Macaw community in Nia Bay, Washington. So we are on our wellness journey. with capacity building, as was mentioned earlier, we're developing a leadership team, a coalition, doing community health assessment, and really engaging our community so that we can make sustainable and meaningful changes to prevent chronic disease and to maximize wellness, long, healthy lives. We recognize that prevention takes many forms. For our tribe, dancing, gathering traditional foods, that's ba'ach there in the green. Some people know it as horsetail. It's something that's been commonly eaten. Or going to the fitness center and changing our tobacco habits. All of those forms of prevention we recognize. So we have senior center fitness class, but we also have our traditional ways. This woman is gathering cedar. We're going out to gather seafood and shellfish. Those were physical activities that really sustained this community over time and provided the nutritious food that allowed them to be here since the beginning of time. Our wellness leadership team, I just want to give a nod to them. This is one of our racing canoes, Ocean Thunder, and we feel like our leadership team is really what pulls us together to meet our goals and keeps us on smooth passage. So they really provide that cohesion input and that guidance at an upper decision-making level. We have members of the tribal council, judicial, social services, health, education, and community, a big diverse group. But our coalition is really our backbone. And one of the things I'd like to say about that is that we really work hard to get diverse population, including subpopulations at the tribe, and they give us a lot of public support and buy-in so that it doesn't seem like it's something that's being foisted on the community, but rather there are people from all the different neighborhoods, from different ages, from different backgrounds, there helping us make decisions and talk about doing community health assessment. So some of the strategies for coalitions, especially those of you that are launching off, one would be involve youth. Having youth has been such a help for us. And on the bottom left here, those were two of four summer interns we had, students that were enrolled in college who came to work with us for the summer. And we had the opportunity to teach them about chronic disease and chronic disease prevention, and then they went back out and educated the community. And the community listened in a whole different way. Because again, it's coalition building. Part of the start is teaching your community what's the issue. So in this instance, they put together a try this, not that, to get the community to start thinking about and even fill out a survey what they like instead of the fried JoJo's or the Doritos from the mini mart or the supermarket. What about these other substitute snacks and sugar-free beverages? Coalition strategies, engagement. Not everybody wants to come play. Don't know why. Thought everybody would want to jump on board. But you know, some of it's about building trust and building that relationship. So we really look for the win-win and try and bring our members on. In this case, it's the supermarket. They're not so sure. They don't want anybody. They're just not sure. They have other priorities and they're busy. But we found a way to get them involved in their first ever health fair. And so that was a real win for them and a way to reframe how they even think of themselves now as educators about eating healthy and how to use their shopping circulars effectively so people can access better food. Natural alliances, especially if you're from small communities, you really need to be aware of the people that are allies and the people that have some divisions. And maybe it's not people, maybe it's organizations, maybe it's programs or families. But being aware of that will allow you to anticipate and minimize potential conflict. For the community health assessment, again, starting that discussion with people, we've used nominal group process. Maybe you've used it. If you haven't, highly, highly encourage it as a way to work with a community, especially if it's not a community of professionals who might feel really comfortable to speak up on these new issues. So we went ahead, we started with some ranking activities. Everybody gets a sticker. And we showed those same health risks that I had showed you earlier about inadequate fruit and vegetable and asked people to pick what's most important for you and your community. And so if you have a group or even some individuals in your group that aren't comfortable speaking up, or if you're working with a cultural twist where it's not polite to speak and say something different than your elders or to say something that's different than other people in your group, it allows for a full range of perspective. So it's really a way to get to some consensus. And then we use ranking with that as well. Very effective for our group and possibly for yours. So to go back, just an unintended consequence, I think we were talking a lot about tobacco at that time and what happened. I can only tell you from our perspective, but cigarette prices were put up, tribe controlled cigarette prices. And look, the profits are going to the Health Coalition.
Wow.
Looks like a great thing, right? Except it wasn't exactly true. So we didn't know about this. We, the Health Coalition, Macaw Community Transformation Coalition, didn't have anything to do with that. That dollar was not going to up towards any work that we were doing. It was a little bit of what the buzz had been in town, talking about tobacco, talking about healthy eating, together with the tribe deciding to raise the price. But it resulted in this kind of information going out, which actually created a backlash. So again, how can you prevent that? I think really working with your partners to remind them, we're doing the assessment piece, we're capacity building, everybody wants to jump to action. And that's great. I mean, it's, you know, you want to go to action, but reminding people not to step ahead of you, because sometimes they'll not lay the groundwork in a way. The community was not ready, and then they became angry with the coalition, and some of our coalition members became angry with the coalition. So ways to minimize it is really reminding everybody about where you're at and working together and laying the groundwork. So I'm running out of time. What I'll tell you is I love this Enact tool. If you haven't seen it, preventioninstitute.org. Again, it's a great way, I think, to engage people that are not necessarily professionals and looking at your community and looking at the environment for nutrition and activity. So they break it down. This is community activities. Walkability and bikeability assessments or audits. Love them. We took moms, dads, and babies and toddlers out, little dogs too. We also took elders, people in wheelchairs, and folks on bikes and assessed our community, did an audit. Great way to engage, and it gets people talking. If you're a group of 20, especially in a small community, people notice. We brought it to the school for the audit and did mapping, so it was a nice way to engage the students in thinking about that and safe routes to school as a way to sort of warm the turf. So after a year of capacity building, what we know from our community is we've gotten really what are the priorities, which will guide us for implementation. They want to increase their access to fresh, seasonal, and traditional foods. This is salmon cooking in the traditional way. It's delicious. Comes to me a bay. You could try it. And that also means looking at farmers markets, looking at CSAs, other ways to support more access, and working with our supermarket and mini mart. And they're also really concerned that we do intergenerational teaching and make sure that the youth know about their traditional foods and activities. They feel like this is something that hasn't really been systematically shared. It was always the family's responsibility, but as things have changed, they're saying, no, maybe that's public health. Maybe that's culture department. Maybe there's a role for the tribal department to help with that. So here are some of our youth bringing back a gift of salmon berry, which I don't think boys would ever have brought back salmon berries if they hadn't been thinking about chronic disease and traditional foods. So again, thinking about the way even adolescent men are conceiving of what they want to eat and what they would do. With that, we say Klecko, thank you.
Thank you. I want to go to Nia Bay. Wasn't that beautiful? We don't have a lot of time for questions, but we do have some time. So does anybody have any questions for anyone on the panel? We tried to save it for the end. Yes.
I have a question for Dr. Prince. And first of all, I've been advocating for a rest of state cohort with the CDC. And now I know why, because it's very, I direct California's rest of state CTG, and I've done CPPW in LA County before that, and a lot of what you went through was very similar. But I do have a question. In LA County, it was all about jurisdiction-wide policy. And when you say you were gauging readiness of communities, to me, it's a matter of ready for what? If it's ready for jurisdiction-wide, you know, multi-unit housing or soda tax or...
Jurisdiction-wide.
So that's how you gauged it, you know, legislated policy, ready for that. Or, because what we're finding is that our communities, and we did the site visits or what if...
Share and learn. We didn't want to call site visits.
Yeah.
Scared them.
Yeah, we certainly did learn. But if there were more organizational approaches, it was steps towards that. But if it was readiness to pass it near term, it wasn't going to happen.
It wasn't always a legislation. So the school one was just school wellness policy. Are you ready to look at your school wellness policies and assess your status, your readiness to fully implement them or change them? And it wasn't. Often it wasn't legislation.
Right, so it reflected their reality.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm interested to know if any of the presenting organizations here utilize any CTG funding for the training or deployment of community health workers. CHW.
We haven't, but we have become aware of them, and so we've then shared the information with another program to start learning about it and looking. As a tribe, we have community health representatives, but stepping up to what's becoming a national standard, I think, will be our goal.
That was just.
And actually, in Austin, one of our new subcontractors is part of their model to go into one of the disparate groups with Hispanic community and have the community health workers start to disseminate some of our messaging. So.
To promotors?
Yes.
Yes, great.
So we would have loved to do community health workers, but we couldn't add yet another thing to our list. So we our focus for team-based care was on using pharmacists, but we did, I mentioned we used the Preventive Health and Health Services block grant to fund our five larger counties, and three of those counties have a community health worker strategy, and we're promoting and working on an infrastructure for training those community health workers.
Any other questions? Okay, I thank you all for coming. Please try to come this evening at 6:30. My idea is that we will share where we're from. I actually am going to hand out CTG grantee signs where you can actually write where you're from so that we can see where you're from and we can ask each other questions and share what we're doing, because there really is so much great work happening out there. I want to hear your stories. If you aren't able to come this evening, send me your stories, sean.mcintosh@apha.org. You may have seen my name other places. Please send me your stories, because I want to get them out there through our dissemination networks and let other people across the country who aren't CTG grantees know what great work you're doing so that they can learn from you. So please come, okay? Thank you.